will.
I've been doing runs from the start, okay? I know what
it's like. Have you ever had to kill people because they'd already killed your friends and were coming for you next? Have you ever done things that made you feel afraid of yourself afterward? Have you ever been covered in so much blood that you didn't know if it was yours or Walker's or your friends? Huh? Then you don't know.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Sin. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 3, entitled Thank You. It was written by Angela Kang, who has written several episodes of The Walking Dead. I had 12. And she's also done Slow Pitch and Relief. And it was directed by Michael Slavis, who had a very good, impressive resume. He's done Law & Order, SVU, Game of Thrones, Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad. I mean, he had a lot of stuff. I couldn't write them all down.
Oh, yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. Very impressive. I was like, oh, my gosh. How much more is he going to do? So, and I'm familiar with that name because we did Game of Thrones. So, I think he did an episode of season six. Or season, what season was that? Season five, Walking Dead.
Five.
Of Game of Thrones, excuse me. All right. So, here we are. Monday night. We had a full 24 hours to breathe and, I don't know, get our emotions, our feelings all in order. So we just finished watching it for the second time. What did you think of the episode?
Well, first off, let me start by saying that I hate the words thank you now.
I know. I was like, thank you.
I don't want anybody thanking me.
Right.
Don't thank me for nothing. But yeah. And, you know, it so happened that was the title of the show.
Right.
But, still sad, still sad. I feel like a family member has passed on.
Yeah.
You know, I almost called out of work.
Right.
Feeling that bad.
Yeah. I've been kind of feeling a little down all day, and I keep going like, what's wrong? And then I go, oh, yeah, The Walking Dead. You know? Yeah,
right.
It hurts. So it hurts.
Should call out of work and tell them a death is in the family.
Right. I need a bereavement day.
Yeah. But, you know, they want you to bring an obituary.
Yeah. And, you know that's kind of sick of work to ask you that.
You can't really make up a little obituary of Glenn.
Right. Yeah, you can, though.
I'm saying, it wasn't confirmed yet.
Yeah.
Once it's confirmed, then, I could go ahead and create that.
Well, either way, okay, that's why I'm still so sad. Only because... Well, first, one, let me just make this very clear. I'm very big on TV. I love TV shows. I get really caught up in them. It's not just a, oh, yeah, I watched that TV show, or, yeah, I catch it on occasion. Like, when I'm invested in a TV show, I get really invested in the characters.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do. So, even if Glenn did not die, and yes, it is a TV show, he still had to go through that horror, that tragic horror. So, I'm still sad for him because, okay, you survived, but how can you ever be okay after that?
Really?
Yes. That's how I feel. I'm like, is he dead? Okay, he's not dead. Great. But now he's lived through that horror. I mean, he's been through so much.
I can live with that.
Really?
I can live with living.
Well, I guess so. I mean, living is better than getting eaten up by walkers, but that's what makes me still so sad. Like, oh, if he did survive, the psychological effects it has had to have on him. So, that's my thing.
Yeah, they need a therapist in Alexander.
Right.
Oh, they have one.
Who's the therapist?
The lady who they call, the new governor.
Oh, is she a therapist?
I think so. Remember, she was...
No, she was a politician before.
Okay, then why is she videotaping people?
I don't know.
Like she's a therapist or something.
This is your second chance to do what you wanted to do.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess you can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah. All right.
You don't need a degree in apocalypse.
Right. I mean, who cares? Everyone's being nurses and doctors in the apocalypse, You do what you want.
Yep.
Rick is like damn near president, So that's how it goes. All right, so before we get into our likes and our dislikes, we did go ahead and watch. We watched about half of Talking Dead after we watched The Walking Dead. So just because I want to give a few pointers just in case you guys do not watch The Talking Dead, Damon Lindelof was on there. Damon Lindelof. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name wrong. Right. But I just love him. You know how you love a person, but you just don't really know much about them. You just know you love their work. So, I'm a big fan of Lost, and he was a co-creator of Lost. And then Gary and I have been watching The Leftovers, and that show is, number one right now, I think. They're doing such a good job on The Leftovers. You guys have to watch it. And he's the creator of The Leftovers. So when we watched, I was like, oh, I didn't know he was going to be on The Talking Dead. So it just worked out well that we actually finally watched it and he was on there.
Right. Yeah, we never watched that.
Yeah, never watch it. So, and then even, well, I also want to watch it mainly because Yvette, that lady that loves, you know, the ones that take the notes, she was going to be on there. So I want to see what she had to say as well. So if you guys are fans of Damon Lindelof or Yvette, go ahead and watch it when you get a chance. I mean, it's on demand or whatever. And then just a few things that they mentioned, I kind of want to just throw out there because I don't know for sure. But one of the things she mentioned was that Glenn has never killed a human being. So that came as a shock to me.
Yeah, that is a shock.
And I almost want to double check it, but I know she's a big fan. So it's like whatever she says, I'm pretty sure is true.
I'm going to have to double check it.
Well, after she said it, I start thinking like, well, has he? And I start thinking, I can't think of a time for sure, but it just seems like he would have. It's season 6. You know, everyone's killed a human at this point.
Right.
But she said he has not killed a human being before.
Not even on accident?
I don't know. Not even on accident, sound like.
Man.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So you could tell they were real sad about that. But that's just, I want to get those few points out there that we learned on Talking Dead. So the way our podcast works, we are going to do our likes, our dislikes of the episode. Then we're going to do any listener letters. And we have an award and a prediction at the end. All right, so let's go with our likes. This was a very action-packed episode. A lot of stuff happened. We got to see a lot of walkers. It was not my favorite episode, though. But
I mean, of course.
You yeah. Know,
coming off of last week's episode?
Coming off of, it's hard to beat. I mean, I thought it was hard to beat season 5 premiere. I thought that they couldn't ever beat that. And then they beat it. And then now, I don't know, they can probably beat it again, or it just wasn't as good. It was still good, though. And it was probably, I also probably feel sad about it because of the whole Glenn situation. All right, but the like I did like is Rick checking that dead guy's pockets and grabbing his stuff. It was like the dude just died, and Rick went and straight in, okay, well, let me go grab his shit now.
But then it was the guy talking shit about him.
Yeah. And have you noticed that everyone that's talked shit to Rick dies?
Yeah, Rick is like the Grim Reaper.
Right, don't talk shit to him.
Once you talk shit to him, it's just over for you.
Right.
Now, once you mention his name, I don't...
Whenever you start questioning Rick's actions, you're going to end up dying. So just don't say shit, because you're going to die. But I liked it, even though everyone else kind of looked on at him like, damn, dude, he just died.
Yeah, that's cold-blooded.
Yeah.
But like I always say, you know, you got to be in survival mode. And Rick, you know, he wanted the granola bar.
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, I thought of Morgan because I was like, there goes Morgan's peanut butter protein bar.
Yeah.
But I like that. All right, Michonne. I liked Michonne this episode. They gave her a big role this episode, I would say, more than usual. But she kept her cool so many times this episode. I mean, Heath was saying little sly comments every 5 minutes. Other dudes were feeling, the other dude that was married, they ended up dying. He was feeling sad and depressed, talking about how the last words he wished he could say to his wife. And she kept her cool with Heath, and she also kind of, like, stayed a positive voice for, like, she's kind of, like, taking Glenn's spot, you know, as far as being that positive voice for them. So just, you know, her keeping the guy with the walker that got scratched.
Yeah.
You know, keeping his spirits up, and her volunteering to burn the building for Glenn because she's like, you have a wife at home. I like that.
Yeah, Michonne, she's always that voice of reason. Always. You know, even when, I guess, last season, where Rick was going crazy, nutting up a sheriff, you know, she kept him together. She kept being the voice of reason, telling Rick, like, okay, you got to stay cool. You know I'm with you, but you got to, you know, stay cool and give us a chance. We don't want to get kicked out of here. You can't take a place you get kicked out of.
You're right. You're right. I guess Michonne's always had her cool. Like, even thinking back to season 3 with the governor. Like, she knew shit was weird there. And she, you know, she wanted to keep her cool. But she's like, I need my sword. And we just want to go ahead and go. Like, this place ain't for us.
Yeah.
So she doesn't, like, let her emotions get in the way of stuff. I mean, she has. But for the most part, she's calm, cool, collective at all times.
Always.
And then just her even giving that speech to Heath, saying, you know, sometimes you don't have a choice. I love that, saying, you know, you don't know if the blood is yours, your friends, or walkers. And I'm glad they had her say that, because we've seen her, like, just last season when they were in the church and they chopped up the Terminus people that came after them.
Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like they're not affected by what they do. Like, oh, they just killed, chopped up people to death, or, you know, they butted them with their gun to death or whatever. And obviously she's saying that this stuff does affect her, but she's just, you know, JSSing, just trying to survive somehow. That's going to be our saying now, JSSing, you know? So she's JSSing. So it was good to see that, you know, that gets under her skin.
And one thing about me and Nicole, we walk around the house and just say stuff to each other. And
right.
Just hope the other person catch on.
Yeah.
You know, just say quotes from other movies, other shows. You know, I'm not as competitive as Nicole. You know, if Nicole don't get it, what I'm saying, you know, I say, yeah, you know, this show episode, this, that. And she, oh, but if I don't get it, oh, boy. I have to hear about it all day.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe you didn't get that.
I am big on that. Yeah. I'm very big. I mean, they've hurt me on the podcast. I, like, quote, Lost. Like, Live Together, Die Alone. And I always go around saying, pretty, pretty good from... Yeah, if you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So it's a household full of quotes.
Yeah.
TV show quotes.
Just walking around seeing quotes. Kids don't get it, though. Like, what are you talking about? All right. So we got Glenn calling Rick a dumbass. I didn't notice that until second watch. And then I also saw people talking about it on Reddit. But I really liked that because it went back to, of course, season one. I think episode one or probably episode two.
And that's what I knew.
That's when you knew. Glenn was gonna die. I mean, yeah. I don't know. You still, I can't say that. Let those words come out of my mouth. It's too much.
I already did.
Okay.
I think I'm the reason for this.
Yeah, you did it. You voted him most likely to die 2 weeks in a row. I only did it 1 week. You know.
Yeah.
That second time. But yeah, just him calling Rick a dumbass. But in a way, I did not quite get that scene because he's like, okay, I'm gonna go burn the building. I just need to do something for a minute. And then we thought he, like, went over and prayed, but did he pray? Like, what did he do?
It looks like he said a quick prayer, but then, like, he took out a compass and a watch. It looked like he was trying to get, I guess, his location together before he talked to Rick. Because remember he said, we like, 2 knocks east of so-and-so.
Yes.
So, you know, he took out a watch and took out a compass.
So maybe he's giving his location as far as a rescue mission?
Could be. I don't know. But, I mean, that's what he did. He gave his location.
Okay.
Well, he probably was just letting them know, I mean, this is what's going on. They're coming your way.
Okay. Or maybe if he thought he was going to die, hey, this is where you can find my body.
No, I think it's more of, this is where the walker's at now. They're, like, in this location. So, wherever you might be, like, a mile ahead of them or whatever.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I think he was doing.
Okay. That makes sense.
Because remember, Rick, when he got in the RV, he told them, he said, yeah, they're coming this way right now. They should be here in a minute.
Right.
So that's what I think Glenn was doing. He was letting Rick know where they were. So I guess Rick could figure out just how far they were. Or I guess the cutoff location where he was going to cut them off at. Which he did. He made it there.
Right. All right. So this is not necessarily a like, but it's not a dislike either. It was kind of just like a, damn, y'all. So why did they watch that guy die? Like the guy that was married? Why didn't they give a mercy kill? They just stood there in horror, like, oh my gosh. Like, why don't you shoot him in the head? He is screaming, dying.
Right.
Like, that's the worst way to go out.
Yeah, they should have stabbed him or something.
Yeah, and well, there's so many walkers, but...
No, Michonne had a sword. She could have stabbed the sword through the gate.
Well, because Heath was shooting all around him. It was like, dude, it was too late for him, clearly.
Just shoot him, please.
I mean, well, it had been already too late because he already got that scratch on his back. And you know that once you get that scratch, you're done.
But you know what? He made my like list.
Okay.
Yeah, by, you know, he got bit in the back. The first thing he said, oh, man, I know what this means. We got to keep moving.
Yeah. He realized, you know, I probably got 24, 40 hours to live. But
right, and he was going to fight to the end.
Right. I did like that. What is his name? Do we have a name?
I mean, I guess the married guy.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sorry to hear you died, married guy. You did good, though. You did good.
He did good.
I'm pretty sure I've said a few times how much I hated Nicholas. Like, couldn't stand his ass. Wanted to see him die. But I guess sometimes, I mean, I still won't say I'm sad that Nicholas died. I'm sad that he felt he had to kill himself. But at the same time, when we were watching it the second time, I was scared of my mind, too. I was like, what the hell? I don't know what I would have did in that situation. either. You don't want to jump to your death and get eaten alive.
That was a scary situation.
Yeah, so it was definitely a scary situation, but, and I still won't say he redeemed himself, because for a minute we were scared. We're like, oh shit, is he going to push Glenn to save his life?
Yeah.
I was scared that was going to happen.
Right.
But when he pulled out that gun, I was like, this dude looks familiar. Like, all of a sudden, I recognized him. And sure enough, I Googled him earlier today, and that's the guy that's on Rectify.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know if I mentioned Rectify. It's another brilliant show. First two seasons right now are on Netflix. It's a deep, dark show. Like, if you like The Leftovers or something just kind of dark, sad, depressing, but you just can't stop watching, he's on that show. He's a very small role. I don't want to say much more because I don't want to spoil it for you, but the first two seasons are on Netflix. The third season will probably come soon. I recommend it. It's like one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. So I know I say that about a lot of shows, but so anywho, yeah, he, when I saw him there at that moment, I was like, all of a sudden I recognized him. And sure enough, Mike, so his name is Michael Trainor. So either way, even though I hated that character, brilliant actor. I mean,
brilliant actor.
You got to be a brilliant actor for someone to hate you that much.
I mean, he pulled it off perfectly.
Yeah. He, it wasn't just a pure hate. It was like, oh, you start feeling sorry for him, and then, nope, you remember why you hate him.
Yeah.
It was kind of like Joffrey.
No, I just hated Joffrey.
Okay.
But, yeah, I told Nicole while we watched, I said, this guy's actually a good actor.
Yeah.
A great actor.
Right. Yeah, he is a good actor, so.
The facial expressions, everything about him.
Mm-hmm. When you just get pissed off at him, so when you mad,
I'm gonna slap him up a little bit.
Like, so many curse words were coming out of my mouth. Like, I just wanted to cuss him out, but then I was like, "Chill, Nicole." Like, at the same time, I was like, "Chill, it's just a show." But at the same time, I was so mad at him. I was mad at him for so many reasons. Like, at the same time, like, I don't even know how to talk. Can we blame him for what happened to Glenn right now? Or are we taking all that anger for what he did to Glenn previously and placing it to this moment right now?
That's a great question. I want to blame him. I mean, I got to blame him, you know?
Right.
You know, Glenn was family.
Yes. Glenn's a day one. He's been there from the beginning.
Right. But, I mean, he was probably just trying to sacrifice himself. And like I said last night during our instant cast, that, you know, if I was him, if I want to sacrifice myself, I would have jumped in.
No, but, you wouldn't have.
Yeah, but I thought about it. After you talked me down, I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't want to get eaten alive.
Right.
I'd probably shoot my... Well, you know, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's too scary.
You know, I don't know what I'll do. I don't think I'll do that. But I think he just tried to sacrifice himself.
Yeah, of course. That's what... It was clear that he tried to sacrifice himself.
But it looks like Glenn tried to catch him.
Was Glenn just stunned? I don't know. And then what was Glenn's game plan? Because he was yelling Nicholas's name. Nicholas! Like when, you know, Nicholas is sitting there thinking like, shit, this is the end. And before he shoots himself, Glenn is yelling his name. So did Glenn have a game plan, or he was just trying to like get Nicholas's head in the present?
I guess he was trying to get him back together.
Okay.
So he could have him kick those hands off. like, I can't kick all these hands off of by myself.
Okay. Yeah, because when they first get to the dumpster, Gary's like, oh, they're going to go inside the dumpster. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. They'll go inside the dumpster and they'll just chill there forever until they're lost.
Chill there forever. Until they just die or something.
Man, I'd rather die of hunger than die from those walkers tearing me apart. But I thought they were going to chill in there until the walkers maybe lost interest or did something different. I don't know. Went somewhere else, but... Yeah. So let's talk about that real quick. Like, this episode was really good with showing Glenn and showing how he still had faith. He still had faith in Nicholas. He didn't give up on him, even at the very end, where most people, such as myself, would have said, big fuck you to Nicholas a long time ago.
I would have pushed Nicholas off the dumpster.
Like, okay, I know I would have. Like, that's what the saddest part is. Like, you know, that's what I don't want to say a normal person would do, because you just never know. But knowing me, I remember I pushed someone because I thought a dog was coming. Like, I was like, and I pushed him and I tried to get a leap. So, like, I can only imagine what I would do if walkers were there. I'd be, like, scared out of my mind.
You're an evil person.
I know. But I know I am. But that's the thing. That's why I try not to fault Nicholas so much, because when you're scared, you're not thinking straight. Do you know what I'm saying? When you're scared, you're not thinking rational. You're scared. And the normal reaction for a human being is to save yourself.
You're right.
You know, right. What is the saying? People don't, something's running after someone. I don't have to be the fastest runner. I just have to be faster than you. So, yes, I would hate to think I would do something that evil to push someone else off there. Like, how do you live with yourself? But who knows?
You live with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
While you're living.
Right. So I hope I wouldn't do something that evil, but you just never know. All right. So what about Rick this episode?
Rick did a lot of running. A lot of running.
A lot of running. I would have been tired in like 15 seconds. He ran a mile. Was it a mile he was supposed to run?
Yeah, he ran.
Straight. I don't know what his time was, but he seemed like he was doing pretty damn good.
Yeah, he did pretty good.
And it looked like it was hot.
Yeah. But, you know, that was a sad scene, seeing him cut himself on a sword.
Yes. Now, could he be infected?
It depends. It depends on whether that person got stabbed before they... Well, he's already infected.
Yeah, that's true.
That's one thing I don't understand about the show, and I always say that, is that when people get bit by the walkers, it's like they have a limited time to change. You know, they change into a walker. But if you're already infected, why does it matter if you get bit or not?
Okay, my understanding is when you get bit, well, I think they said this on Fear the Walking Dead, but when you get bit, it's the infection from the bite that kills you, and then you end up turning. So getting bit doesn't turn you into a walker. It's that you die, and that's what turns you into a walker.
But that's like getting shot. I've seen people get shot on the show. We saw somebody get shot on this episode.
Yes, so if they died, they would have came back. But since they just got shot, if they're able to heal, then they would have been able to be fine. So the reason why, as far as walking, getting bit by a walker, when you're saying, I see them get shot, I see what you're going at. When they get bit by a walker, it's like there is no cure for that. They can't just sew that shit back up, you know? So
is it like rabies or something?
Probably, something like that. There's no cure for a walker. You can't just like, put a little alcohol in there and put a Band-Aid and hope it heals. Like the walker scratch or walker bite won't heal. There's nothing to heal it.
I mean, I don't see why the scratch is so bad. I mean, the walker's got the cleanest hands ever.
We'll get to that. That's on our dislikes. But, okay, real quickly, though, as far as getting bit and getting all that stuff, I remember back in season one, and this might be because they didn't know any better, but they really don't go over it that much anymore. Actually, they don't go over it at all. When Rick, when they first were introduced to the walkers, they used to be like, don't make sure it doesn't get in your mouth or your eyes, you know?
Yeah.
But now we see them stabbing walkers, blood is splashed all over their face and everything around their mouth.
Yeah.
And they don't say anything. So what does that mean anymore?
That's what I was trying to say. Since everybody is already infected, why does this stuff matter? Why does it matter if you get bit by a walker? Why does it matter if the blood get in your mouth, get in your eye? I don't get the point.
Right. I guess I get the whole, if you get bit or scratched by a walker, that part, because you're getting, said it, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is sci-fi. I don't want to ruin the show. Let's just go on.
Let's move on. So we saw the gun come back. And when we first saw that gun come back, we knew it was from Morgan, because that was the same guy that had the Morgan's gun.
Right. Morgan let that guy fuck over him like 3 times already.
Right. It's like, come on, Morgan, no more. But we get Morgan's backstory next week, so we'll see what happens there. But my question is, just seeing that gun come back, have we ever seen what happened to Rick's gun that he hid in that blender last season? We still never seen that come back.
Yeah, that hasn't came back yet.
Have we determined that it's just Eden that stole it, or it's still no proof for sure?
Yeah, it's no proof.
Okay. But Rick was very badass, like him killing those people. Like, you come in shooting, you better kill. How you let Rick take the drop on you when you came attacking him?
From behind.
Right. But seeing Rick, when he saw that the baby food in that guy's pocket, it kind of broke my heart, because I knew it broke his heart. Because now he realized those people were at Alexandria.
Right.
And then the car wouldn't start. So he's really scared. So I thought he did a good job. I mean, Rick's always good at acting, but I thought he did a really good job in this scene. I mean, he had a small role this episode, but I thought it was effective still.
Yeah, it was a small but powerful role.
Right. All right. Well, that covers all our likes. I mean, this was a very good episode, but that covers all our likes.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, this week, unlike other weeks in the past, we do have several dislikes here.
Yeah.
I mean, the list kept going on. I got a full page here. But here we go.
Well, I guess our first dislike, since we're already on the Rick in the truck or the RV, I get tired of seeing stuff like this in the episodes. Like, you turn a car off, you turn the RV off, and next thing you know, you can't start it.
Right.
When something's coming at you, it won't start for nothing. And I just think that's so...
cliche.
Cliche, that's the word. I just think it's so cliche that they could have did a better job. I mean, they should have had it run out of gas or something while he was driving there. So we would understand why it won't start back up. Like, damn, there's no gas.
Right. Yeah, because I wrote down, did he blow an engine? Maybe when he shot the people on the outside, the wolves? Like, could he have hit something that was critical?
Or could he have hit a gas? I don't know.
And then also, were those dead bodies now that he killed, were they stopping the car from moving? Oh, well, no, the car wasn't even coming on, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't come on.
Okay, yeah, I did not like that part. I was like, the car was working perfectly fine a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
But granted, you see cars on the side of the road all the time. I'm sure when they left the house that morning, they didn't think their car was going to stop on them. So shit does happen. But I guess the fact that we've seen it so much in like scary movies and stuff like this, that it was kind of like, come on, really? And then right when the walkers get there, really?
Yeah, really?
You know?
Oh, this thing again.
Right. All right. My next dislike was, why the hell was that horn blowing for so damn long? I call bullshit.
And you know what? That's what I said last episode. I said that when the first episode went off, it seemed like that horn was blowing forever.
Right.
But then when we got to see the episode, the horn wasn't really blowing that long.
Mm-hmm.
Then going back to this episode 3, now that horn is blowing forever. I mean, that horn blew through Rick's conversation. We got to get back. This, that.
The guy died.
They done ran like a half a mile.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. And then it also brings back to what I talked about last week on, could they really hear the horn that damn far? They're pretty far away. They're walking, hope we can make it home. So it's not even like they're a mile, 2 miles away. I should have looked it up. Like, how far can you hear a horn blowing?
But then again, it's not like they're in the city.
Yeah, because wouldn't the trees...
You know what I'm saying? It's like they're in the country. Maybe stuff sounds louder. Maybe you can hear stuff from further away.
Maybe. I should have looked it up.
Because, you know, we live in a city.
Is this really the city?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when you see a lot of buildings around you.
Yeah.
A lot of jobs, gas stations on every corner.
Right.
We're not in, like, a rural area.
Right. Okay.
I mean, maybe stuff, I mean, we're just hearing stuff all the time that we just can't pick one thing out of what we're hearing. So if you think about it, when we're inside our home, you can hear a car when it's about to get an accident. You hear a car streak from the road's not, we're not really that close to the road.
Right.
To really hear the car, you know, should be able to hear it like that. But we do hear it. When it sounds like, you know, a car, somebody had to step on their brakes real fast.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'll give it to him because it's a show, but like, I don't even think we could hear a horn blowing from 5 miles away, let alone like, I think they were like 20 miles away, but it's a show.
I don't know if they were that far, but.
Okay.
Because they did hear gunfire and everything.
Oh, I call bullshit on that too.
I knew you would.
Yeah, I was far. I mean, but like I said, I love The Walking Dead. I'm not going to critique every single thing or nitpick every single thing. So,
hey, that's what made the show.
Yeah, it made the show, so we'll let it go. But the thing that we cannot let go is, how are these people keep getting killed by one walker? How are they letting walkers sneak up on them?
Right.
Walkers don't be tiptoeing. They make as much noise as they damn well feel like it.
Right.
Ugh, whatever noise they be making, I can't even make the walker noise. But they don't even be coming like, oh, I'm about to sneak up on them. He ain't gonna see me coming. Like, they are super loud.
Maybe those are fresh walkers and they blending in.
Professor Gary's like, what do you think? It was part of his crew.
Yeah, maybe, stuff was happening so fast. you know, he felt somebody breathing on his neck. He thought it was, you know, somebody in the group.
And then it's like, how can you relax? You're on a mission. You're on high alert. You know there's a herd nearby. I would be like constant moving, like, look, you know, watching my back at every second. Why are you standing still? And I mean, sorry. But seriously, how did no one else see that walker snake sneak up either? They're all like when they were helping Scott, I think his name is Scott, the other guy, the bald head guy that got shot in the back of the leg. Yeah, when they were helping him, a walker came up and bit that guy or scratched that guy. I'm like, how did nobody see that?
Yeah, walker just infiltrated the clique. Just walk up in there like he cool.
Forget him not seeing or hearing the walker. How nobody? There's like six of you guys. No one was looking out. Everyone was standing. Like, come on. It was just crazy to me. And it happened twice this episode.
Yeah, just
twice
a
we saw a single walker take down somebody.
Yeah, well, they were just sitting there just conversating.
Right.
You know, he's sitting in a circle. You tell me nobody in a circle saw that guy coming.
Right. It's just crazy. All right, so we have a few things we have to call bullshit on this episode now that I'm looking at the notes. Next is we call bullshit when they were in the pet store, and they were in there for a while.
Talking, all type of
chilling,
noise.
Yeah, having multiple conversations.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you hear walkers locked up, and they're making a whole bunch of noise.
Yeah. It's like as soon as the walkers start walking past the pet store, then all of a sudden now you hear other walkers in the back.
Yeah. And you made a joke, I think, last week. It was not on the podcast, but it was when we were watching. You were like, what, walkers be taking naps now? Because remember when Enid walked up to the car and the walker had been just chilling sleep? And then, like, as soon as she walked up, that's when it started making noise.
Well, as soon as she walked up and grabbed for the coat.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it woke up.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I didn't know walkers take naps now.
Yeah. So, yeah, we call bullshit. Like, where were those walkers doing that whole time? Like, when they were inside
probably
the
taking
pet
a nap.
Store.
Probably sleep. I mean, we already know when nothing's going on that the walker is just, I guess, in chill mode.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they still be awake, though.
Yeah, they definitely be awake.
I mean, last week's episode was the first time I actually seen a walker with his eyes closed, head turned to the side, just like it's snoring.
I don't even know what to say about that one.
Like the walker just being there for a while, and he's like, man, fuck it. I'm just going to take a nap.
Right. I'm stuck under this car. I'm stuck here, so I'm just going to sleep or whatever. But all right, so this next one, it was probably more of my dislike than it was Gary's, because even while we were watching the second time, I was like, oh, he's like, what? Like, he didn't care. But honestly, I did not like the dialogue, the music, the directing, or the acting in this episode.
I have to disagree with her. Because, okay. I mean, I loved all of that.
Okay. I'm not going to say the whole thing because I liked the episode. But so many times it was like the dialogue. Like at one point they're like, the herd's still coming. The trees should stop them. That was Michonne. Let's go. We have no choice. Everything, like, what the hell? Like, duh, we see you guys have no choice. You have to go. You don't have to tell us we have no choice. You have to go. I mean,
they got to tell her. We're part of the clique too.
Yeah, but we see that.
I mean, when I watch The Walking Dead, I'm there with them.
Exactly. So they don't have to tell you because you're there with them.
They gotta tell me. I gotta know why we gotta go.
All right. It was just the dialogue. It was just so simple. It was like, oh no, he died. Let's make sure we tell his wife he loved her. Like it. I did not like the dialogue. And then part of it, I think it was the acting. And I love Michonne. I do. I love the actress, but.
Oh, she did an excellent job this episode.
No, she did. She definitely did. But there was just some scenes when they were talking.
You're talking
feeling
blasphemy.
It. No, I'm sorry. And then even the directing, I was like, what the hell? This doesn't seem like normal Walking Dead directing. The way they filmed the scenes, it was just I didn't like it. And then even the music, it was just so heavy-handed.
You know what? I'm going to tell you what's really wrong with Nicole. All
right.
Because Nicole didn't have any problem with this episode during the first watch. Now that Glenn died, now she's in her feelings. Now the second episode, she just, you know, kicks stuff in her feet and stuff. Want to point out everything because she's already upset and mad.
Maybe. Or maybe second watch, you get a chance to notice some more things.
No, you was already in your feelings by then.
I don't know. I mean, I probably was, but.
Watched the episode with your arms folded.
No, but even the first time when I watched it, I thought it too. Like, as we were watching the first time last night, I was like, the excitement wasn't fully there. It really wasn't. So.
And I have to disagree with you again, because it was there for me.
All right. To each his own.
I was excited. And I thought you were too. Like I said, you know, once Glenn died, nothing, things just weren't the same.
Glenn may have died. I mean, I thought the people last night were crazy. But after watching again, it's possible that Nicholas fell on top of Glenn.
I mean, you could see Nicholas fell on top of Glenn. But damn, it's like a million walkers. I mean, they could be finished eating Nicholas in no time.
Yes, that's true.
And they're not going to just stop right there.
But they were near that dumpster. Is it possible that Glenn can roll under the dumpster?
You know, I don't think Glenn have 9 lives. I mean, we already seen him, you know, in episode 1 of the first season. Was it episode 1 or episode 2 of the first season?
Episode 2.
Where we saw him do all those tricks to get away. Rolling, yeah. You know,
dodging death. And then he almost died last year at Terminus.
Yeah. So I think this may be it for him.
Well, then why didn't they show us?
I guess they, you know, they wanted to keep us on edge.
All right. I mean, I thought the people were crazy last night when they were in denial. I was like, no, it's clear. But now that I have 24 hours to reflect, I'm going to be kind of in, not full in denial, but I am kind of like, I don't want it to be. Like, you know how you hate cheap, I always say I hate cheap throws, I hate cheap things. Like, I would be okay with this. I would be okay if they said it was all a dream. Like, just just make Glenn alive. Like, that's all I want. He doesn't deserve this. You know? Like, I don't know if I'd be as this sad if Rick died. Because, not saying Rick, I want Rick to die, but Glenn doesn't deserve this. He's, like, the kindest person.
Well, you know what? I have to agree with you on that. When you say that you'll be okay with Rick dying. What, you know, not this season, but the season when they were at the prison.
Oh, God. After his wife died, when he went little cray cray,
I was like, man, just take him out of his misery.
What would have happened to little Carl and Judith at that time?
They would have been all right. They're all right now. I mean, actually, Carl got harder.
Yeah. You know what? I know Carl, I mean, I know it's only been a little bit since they left the prison, but like, if you think back to season 3 when they left the prison and Carl was still like a little boy. Now he like a grown-ass man.
I mean, you grow up fast in Apocalypse. You got to.
But Judith is still like a little baby crawling. They should have made Judith, like, they should have increased her age, her rapid growth.
Well, you know what, Judith, she don't know the danger yet.
Okay.
So she don't have to grow as quick.
Yeah, but they should have showed us, like, Judith taking her first steps. Like, I don't even think Judith is walking yet. Have we seen her walk? We haven't seen her do nothing yet, right?
Nah.
All right. That. We need to confirm how old she is, please. We need to see some type of milestone happening in this child's life to determine how old she is at this point. All right, well, that's all my dislikes. You have any more?
No.
Okay. No. I don't think you had really any that much, except for the first ones I mentioned.
Yeah.
All right, so now we have our listener letters. We love to hear from you guys, so let us know what you're thinking, especially if you have something in your mind that we did not bring up at all, let us know. Our email is dead@theverdictsin.com, dead@theverdictsin.com.
Or you can reach us on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin.
All right, so we only have one email this week, or we have 4 emails from one person. I don't know where Yolanda and Miss Gloria are at this week, but we miss you guys and we're thinking of you. So
yeah,
we have.
Where's Yolanda?
Yeah, where's Yolanda? Gary's like, Yolanda didn't write in. I was like, no. So, anywho, we got a new email from Tiffany, and she wrote us before this episode, and then she wrote us again after this episode.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go over them. The first 2 are from before episode 3, and she wrote, eek, listen to your podcast for the first time and love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm definitely going to comment next week. Can't wait, which is now. And then she said, not sure why everyone hates Carl, but I love him. He's so kick-ass now, and he's only 13. He's ready for anything. Okay, see you next week.
Hello, Carl is 13?
I don't know if he's 13. Is he? Well, I mean, Carl has been, I mean, he's not 13 in real life. He's probably high school by now. But that's what I was saying. Like, when they left the prison, he was like a little kid.
I thought Carl was like 21 or something. He had a full face of the hair or something. He had a beard.
He's shaving. Yeah, but I guess, you know, over summer breaks, you know, little boy, he's growing up fast.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be taller than Rick pretty soon. All right, so she wrote, okay, thought some more stuff, and this is still before the last week's episode, but I like what she said, so I'm going to try to read it and kind of, well, since she only wrote, we have enough time to talk everything she said. She said, oh, so I went to your website, awesome, theverdictsin.com, check it out, you guys. because I'm a bit of a TV junkie and I get so tired of hearing nerdy podcasts where they spend the first 10 minutes having an insider nerd convo about freaking outtakes from the original Star Wars and how if they haven't seen it in the original form from 1975, you can't call yourself a fan. Mind you, these people are like 18 years old. Seriously, I want these people to eat a dick and die.
And you know what? I say the exact same thing.
Right.
I always tell Nicole that. I mean, I don't say they need to eat a dick and die. But I just say, you know, I get tired of that, hearing people talk about Star Wars. Oh, you're not a real Star Wars fan. Oh, you got to watch it in the original form. You got to watch it in black and white.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be a fan of Star Wars at any age. I mean, I love all episodes.
Yeah.
I love the newer episodes, the old episodes. I just love Star Wars.
Next, she said, I see you already have a review of The Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, but additional shows you should check out are The Nick. She said second season just started and Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I had watched 2 episodes of The Nick over the weekend after reading her email.
Yeah.
Gary, you watched, I think, the second episode with me. I did like it. I recommend it. I don't see myself podcasting on it.
No.
Yeah, I don't see myself podcasting on it.
But, I mean, it was a good show.
But it was a good show. I would recommend it. Agents, Marvel of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Love it.
All right, so for this week's I Am Fearing Shit Award, she gave it to Carl. And this was last week. So she gave it to Carl. He did save Ron. She said, yeah. We all know Carl can kick ass, but no one seems to really understand how cold-blooded Carl really is.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. When he was coming down the mother effing stairs, he is prepared as Carol. He's all, I see 3 people breaching the walls from the south and 6 people on the north wall with the freaking AR-15 ready to go.
Yeah.
I like how Enid is at his door. He goes all old black man on her, like, get your ass in this house. Okay. And he is straight up protecting his house, his sister, his shit. I haven't read this email for a few days, so I forgot what she wrote until now. Alright, he pops dude twice, rescuing Ron, and then when the siege is all over, he does the usual. You know, he's just walking around his house, checking the locks, making sure dead bodies stay dead. When that buzzer went off, I jumped out of my skin, and after everything that went down, Carl was like, oh yeah, lasagna for dinner. Go, Carl.
He was cool.
Now she said, also, wonder if Enid kidnapped baby Judith. And when I read this to you, Gary thought, you said you thought the same thing, kind of.
At first, when she was gone, I did think that. I'm like, okay, what if she took the baby?
Yeah.
She took Kick-Ass.
But that would be stupid. Like, why? She couldn't protect that baby on her own.
But then, if she left a letter and everything, I was like, nah. I'm pretty sure that's probably the first thing that Carl would do after getting the lasagna out.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's his next move to go check on the baby.
But man, that would be something crazy if we find out little Judith is gone. All right, she said most likely died Jesse only because she showed so much promise with the scissor stabbing. She's bound to get a little cocky and get herself got. Hopefully not. Jesse, I don't want her to die because her kids, you know, they already lost their dad. All right, so for this week's episode 3, she wrote, no, this cannot be happening. Like, seriously, it might be the only time I am totally okay with this being a fake out. I'm going to assume this is a fake. There is no way they could leave Maggie and Rick and Michonne and Daryl without some type of closure. I mean, you remember when Maggie and Glenn were separated before. The lengths they went to find each other. If they don't recover Glenn some way or get some closure, this will absolutely drive me mad. She may go off on Alexandria's, which wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. These people need to be talked to like adults. And she said it wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing. She's talking about Maggie, if Maggie goes off on them.
The thing is, if you listen to the last podcast, you would know that I predicted this already.
Okay.
I knew Glenn was going to die.
I mean, I guess if you say Glenn every week, then the probability of it happening, you know. But go on.
I'm just saying, I tried to prepare everybody. I've tried to prepare all the listeners for this very day. That, you know, one day we would be without Glenn. And, I mean, today has came, and I guess for the ones that, you know, took my advice at heed, they were prepared. And the ones that say, oh, Gary's just talking, they're like you, Tiffany. they're mad now.
Right. All right. Okay. I would like to first explain that while normally wouldn't find him attractive, ever since he ripped that guy's jugular out with his bare teeth in season 5, first half, I am all Team Rick. And not just Team Rick, like wild-eyed, bloody, and sweaty. I'm just grimy Rick Grimes. Love it. Love him. Totally my new crush on the show. And then she says my observations during the show. So before she gets into that, I'm not really feeling Rick this season. He's gone just a little too cray-cray for me. But I get the whole Rick Grimes crush sort of thing. Like, season four, I forgot if it was first half, second half, maybe second half. When they were in that house and he was hiding under the bed when those people came back to the house, when Michonne and Carl had gone.
Yeah.
I was so scared for Rick. I was like, oh my gosh, do not hurt Rick. And then that's when I realized, do I like Rick? And then that's when I realized I kind of had a crush on Rick, but that crush is slowly died. I think it died sometime in season five, but I still love him. But I can see how there's a moment in time where you get that crush on Rick. I'm pretty sure all of us have gone through it at one time or another.
Mm-mm, not me.
Okay. Well, most of the girls probably have gone through it one time or another in these six seasons. So I definitely get that. All right. About the Alexandrians. As soon as they say we can't survive this, they immediately die somehow. How, and it's funny how they all die immediately after saying this. I like to watch tales of true survival shows, and in this show, people will be stranded in the ocean for like 3 weeks, barely hanging on, and then a helicopter shows up, and all of a sudden they are so critical they can barely make it. Well, they say the most dangerous times when you're being rescued is right when help arrives, because all the things you're doing to survive, all the thoughts, the willpower, the sheer determination, kind of leaves you when you are so relieved to finally not have to handle things on your own. This is what the Alexandrians remind me of. Survivors who die right at the moment of rescue.
Wow.
Was anyone else confused about what Daryl's existential crisis was? He drove off, was going to do something. Maybe I didn't catch it, but caught back up with Sasha and Abraham. Please fill me in if you know.
I don't get that either.
I didn't get it the first time, but in second watch, I still didn't get it. The only thing I can think of is when he said he felt he needed to go back to Alexandria when Sasha was like, we can't stop you. We're not going to stop you if you do. I thought maybe he was going to go back to Alexandria because he felt they needed him. And then once he was on the phone with Rick, he realized, I'll just kind of stay where I'm at.
Well, I think because Rick said that he stopped them. He's at the spot where they're coming and he's going to get them back on track.
Okay. Okay, yeah, because then Sasha's like, okay, see, Daryl, it all worked out.
But I don't know why he just had to get back there anyway.
It's like Daryl feels like that's his home now. Like, I think Daryl doesn't have anyone else. So if he doesn't want to lose this little thing that he finally found, like he finally found home. That's the only thing I can think of is like he found home. He doesn't want to lose it.
But, you know, he didn't want to accept Alexander. Like, everybody was taking showers, baths, eating good.
Right.
And he's still going out killing possums. Still dirty, muddy.
Yeah.
Went and washed his hair.
All right, she says, we immediately see how the wolves that Morgan set free go on to terrorize someone else, in this case, Rick. He handles them barely, but it was just too scary. But does it mean if Morgan is leaving the complex to go find these guys, he'll be walking straight into the herd of zombies? Will he come upon Rick's RV? Oh, God. When Rick mowed down those mofos on the side, I was like, yes, Rick. Morgan did try to warn them.
Yeah.
I don't think Morgan's going after those people. When they left, he ended up closing the gate on them.
Yeah, Morgan closed the gate.
So he's not going after them.
He's about to go take a nap like the walkers.
Right. And then she talked about she kind of felt bad for Rick, seeing that, you know, how he realized the people had been at Alexandria because he saw the baby food. Michonne dropping realness on Heath was unexpected but great, and finally full circle back to Glenn and punk-ass Nicholas.
And it was, because you see Heath say the same thing once, like, I guess his guy die.
Mm-hmm.
He say, hey, we gotta go, we gotta keep moving.
Right.
It was funny that he said that, you know, right after Michonne gave him that speech and said this is what's gonna happen, that sometimes you gotta keep moving, you can't save everybody.
Right.
And you know, his people was trying to tell him that the whole episode. He was saying, hey, just leave us, we're gonna slow you down.
Yeah, they should have left him, kind of.
Like Michonne was telling him, or like Michonne said, well, he hasn't really been through that. So I'm pretty sure that he still had that mentality, no man left behind, which I guess that's the same mentality Rick and them have also, but shit happens.
Right. She said, I know everyone is going to say this just means that Rick was right. Some people will not survive, but I think it's deeper than that. There was discussion about everyone being able to be redeemed, but I think this just shows it's not true. I think if you were Dick before the apocalypse, Meryl, Nicholas, the governor, then the apocalypse doesn't make you drop that side of yourself and try to survive. It means that there are some people who are just terrible people and cannot be redeemed. The opposite spectrum of this is Daryl, maybe Father Gabe, and Tara. Because Daryl was with Meryl, you assumed he was an ass, but he was able to be more gentle self. Father Gabe was probably a great person before the Z-Pac, but with the killing of his flock, he's had to do some things and that almost made him cray. Tara seemed like a great person and was previously willing to take over the prison by force.
Well, I'm going to have to stop her right there.
Okay.
At Gabriel.
Okay.
First of all, Gabriel, he was the reason his flock died.
Well, she said he was probably a great person before the Z-Pock. So before? Maybe, yeah, before. I'm pretty sure he was just a regular pastor going on about his way or whatever. And then when the Z-Pock happened, he realized he's not brave.
I think he always knew that he was a fake preacher. You know, he was probably happy just getting the money from his congregation.
No, I don't think he comes up for cause like that. That's a scam artist.
And he probably was a scam artist. In fact, it's no telling if he was really the father before this happened.
Ooh.
He might not have been a pastor.
That's scary.
He might have took over the role once the real pastor died.
That's good.
The pastor probably was one people locked up. He probably ran inside the church and closed the door on the pastor.
That's scary and that's good. That's real good. I would not be surprised if they went that way. That's good. As far as Daryl was kind of an asshole when he first got there. You guys, he said saying racist shit just along right along with Merle.
Right.
He was an asshole, but he was not just as big of an asshole as Merle. That's the only thing.
Right.
Because I remember when I first started watching, I hated Daryl. I was like, okay, he's a racist jerk. But then slowly I started liking him. And now, of course, he's like one of my favorite characters.
He redeemed himself. He saved us a couple of times.
All right, she said, thank you, Nicholas. Gabe Glenn was basically saying, I thought I could be a better person. I thought I could be the person you thought I was deep inside, but I can't be that person. I see that it's honorable, and now that I've seen the other way, I can't live with the guilt of being who I actually am, a coward who will always put myself first. And she said, well, thanks. Can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. And then she wrote, P.S. Glenn ain't dead.
Well, I have to disagree with you. Glenn, if he's not dead, he would be dead after they get his eating Nick. He's next.
We shall see. And the last thing she wrote was, when the guy was talking about how he met his wife, it makes her think of the story parallels between the soon-to-be Rick and Michonne.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of talk about that. But I'm like, if it haven't happened by now, it might not happen. Okay. They might just remain real good friends. It might both go back on patrol.
All right. Thank you, Tiffany, so much for all those emails. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
They were long, but since you're the only one that wrote this week, we were able to discuss them in full, pretty much.
I can't believe Yolanda didn't write.
I know. Yolanda, after, what's up with that?
After she called me out last episode.
Right. She must have liked your picks from last week. So, but we would love to hear from you guys. So make sure you send us email once again, dead@theverdictsin.com. And now for our award and our prediction. This week, the I Ain't Fair Shit Award goes to, and it was actually a hard pick for me. There were so many people that did a good job. Even that lady that kind of, she sacrificed herself, the lady with the sprained ankle.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like, a sprained ankle ain't shit in the zombie apocalypse, you know? you gotta
run that off.
Yes! I mean, Herschel lost a leg and he was still a fighter. You gotta keep moving, girl. The governor lost the eye and he was still killing motherfuckers left and right. Yeah. You got a sprained ankle, you run it off. So, I mean, people do that in normal day life. They don't be going to the doctor, sprained ankle, it'll be okay in 6 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So, anywho, but she was pretty brave when she sacrificed herself. However, the I Ain't Fair and Shit Award for me this week, I'm going to give it to Michonne. I mean, when they left that pet store, she came out swinging. She, like I said, she kept her cool. She kept her composure. One thing is you don't, what do they say when there's like a dangerous situation happening? You don't want to cause panic. And she kept everything cool. Even though she probably thought to herself or to Glenn, yes, if shit gets real, we may have to leave him. But she was not going to announce that, hey, we may have to leave y'all, you know, every man for himself. She kept it cool and she tried to keep everyone calm. And I thought she just did a wonderful job this episode.
She did. I mean, I agree with you. She did a great job. But I'm going to have to go in another direction. I'm going to have to give the I Ain't Fearing Shit Award to Married Man.
Wow.
For the simple fact, this guy got bit on the back and said, I know what to do. Move on.
Right.
Keep going. This guy kept going. He kept fighting.
You're right. Even though he knew it was over.
Yeah, he knew it was over for him.
All right.
But he decided just to move on and fight on with them. I mean, even though he's not, I guess, at his full potential, he's still an extra gun for them.
Uh-huh.
And going back to the scene where you said they bust open the pet store and start, you know, Michonne jumped out. Remember, when they bust open the door, he was right there with the shotgun.
Okay.
Badass.
Yeah, I will give it to you because me personally, I know me. I would have been freaking out like as soon as I got scratched. Like I would have been talking about it the whole damn time. Like, does it look like it's getting worse? Like, are you sure there's nothing we can do? We can't scrape it off. So like I would have been freaking out. So yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Okay. All right, so for most likely to die, I'm going to stick with who I had last week. And I'm going to still go with, well, Abraham. I don't know if Abraham will be in next week's episode. But I'm going to still go ahead and give it to Abraham.
I think my most likely to die is Glenn. I'm sorry.
You think you're going to finish him?
I'm sorry. If Glenn's not dead yet, I think they will finish him next episode.
All right.
I don't think he's getting out of this. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't want Glenn to die. I do not want Glenn to die. I mean, just letting everybody know that. But I don't see no way out. I mean, if they get finished eating Nick's scary ass, they're going to want dessert. And that's what Glenn's going to be.
All right. I mean, well, last year when Nicholas was fighting him and Nicholas threw those walkers on him or pushed those walkers on him, it almost looked like he was going to die then. So Glenn knows how to get out of situations. He's resourceful. And like he said, I need to get home. He needs to get home to Maggie.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to say Glenn.
And I've seen some rumors that Maggie just may be pregnant. So, I don't know. That's why I feel like when he said, I need to get home, it was kind of like, no, I got to get home with my wife. It was almost like that urgency, that need, which would be crazy if they have two babies in the zombie apocalypse. But, I don't know. All right. Well, until next week, it's a 90-minute episode. I don't know. I thought this week was going to be a 90-minute episode, but... They said next week for sure is going to be a 90-minute episode.
You know, this week felt like a 90-minute episode.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, it's going long. But then, like, it turned off, like, around 10:02, 10:03.
Because, you know, after Glenn died, I thought that was it. Mm-hmm. Then I look at the clock, and we have 10 more minutes. I'm like, damn.
Right. Even though, I will say, I've already saw people online saying 90 minutes of Morgan. I don't want to see that shit. It's like, how do you know you don't want to see it if you haven't watched it yet? Just chill the fuck out. Like, watch it and see what happens, you know? Yeah. And Lenny James is an excellent actor. I can see myself enjoying 90 minutes of Morgan's backstory.
Right. I mean, I don't think they're going to give us a full 90 minutes of Morgan. I think they're going to touch on Morgan's story just like they touched on, what's her name, Edith. I think they're going to touch on this story. It may touch on it a little more than hers, but I think they're going to touch on this story and move on and talk about some other stuff, bring this all together. Because if you think about it, every episode really ended, I guess, around the same time period.
Yeah. It's still so close. Everything is still happening, like, within all an hour. This is all within an hour, probably,
so
still.
I think they probably just make this episode, next episode, a little longer, because they want to get on before Morgan got there. Okay. And then this may, you know, they may show us some other backstory, and it may end, in, I guess, in the same time period.
Right.
Maybe.
I don't know if the whole episode will be Morgan, or they just didn't want to show us other parts because it would have been too much of a spoiler. Yeah. Like they just couldn't show anything, because if they showed Rick, we would have known he got out of it. If they showed Glenn, we would know he got out of it. So they couldn't show too much, and so it may not be all Morgan. Maybe that's the only thing they could show without spoiling it for us. But
yeah,
we shall see. So we will be back Sunday night after the episode for our instant cast, and then back once again Tuesday for our full recap. As always, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.